All this week, Simon Marks has brought you Simon Marks's American Day, a subsidiary of Simon Marks's American Week, and it's been such a success. Simon's getting his own show here on LBC tomorrow at 9 p.m. You can call him. I'm told it's going to be spectacular. If you remember the old Stanley Baxter shows on TV, it's that sort of thing. That's tomorrow at 9 o'clock, but it's Friday, it's 10 to 5. Here's the original, live from Washington, D.C., Simon Marks's American Week.
Eddie, I'm just the warm-up man for Nick Abbott. It would be lovely to think that we are on the brink of the end of all of this. Just one last weekend of fevered campaigning, the last big push to reach the undecided voter. There surely can't be more than one of them out there at this stage. The hell for leather race to the finishing line, election day itself, and then at around 3 or 4 in the morning UK time, the result. I mean, that's what happened back in 2016.
America decides on LBC.
18 minutes past 4. If you're waking up to LBC's election night coverage, you're waking up to the fact that Donald Trump looks as if he's about to achieve his fantasy dream. He is within a nose hair of the White House. Simon Marks in Washington, I could never have predicted I would say those words to you.
You and me both, Ian. Absolutely stunning. A political earthquake for the ages here in Washington, D.C. The New York Times now says that Donald Trump has a greater than 95% probability of being America's next president.
Still gives me chills to hear it. But are we actually going to get a result to bring you during our election special next Tuesday night and Wednesday morning? And if we don't, then what happens? This week, amid the rallies, the last-ditch appeals to voters and the get-out-the-vote operations, there have been worrying signs that things could get very sticky in America over the course of the next few days. But let's start with the good news. As of this morning, more than 80 million Americans had already cast their ballots in early voting. Although at this point, I suppose the people showing up in person next Tuesday are really participating in late voting, given the scale of the enthusiasm already shown by their fellow countrymen. If you assume that around 150 million people in total are going to vote for either Donald Trump or Joe Biden, then more than half of them have already done their duty. It's unprecedented, says presidential historian Michael Beschloss.
One reason is the pandemic. Another big reason is that many people, I think, have the idea that this could be the most important election in American history. They want to make sure that their vote is cast and that their vote is counted.
The campaigns, of course, want to get as many people to the polls as possible. So both sides have enormous operations underway to inspire, encourage, and if necessary, cajole voters in a bid to make sure that nobody sits on their hands. Last night in Chicago, the Democrats, very eager to get black voters nationwide to the polls, deployed Tamika Palmer. She's the mother of Breonna Taylor, the entirely innocent black 27-year-old woman gunned down by police last March in a botched drugs raid.
We've been protesting, we've been crying, we've been arguing, we've been in the courts, but unless we vote, we will not get the change that we need.
President Trump turned to golfer Jack Nicklaus this week. He wants people to back the president for 4 more years. And we heard yesterday, Nigel Farage is also part of the Republicans' mobilization efforts. And in a modern-day Nixon meets Elvis moment, President Trump met the rapper Lil Wayne yesterday. Tragically, no video cameras were present to record that particular endorsement.
It's time to stand up. Take back our democracy.
Joe Biden is in 3 states today, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa. Yesterday, he was in the crucial swing state of Florida. If he can beat Donald Trump there, then the president may have no path to re-election.
We can do this. We can be better than what we've been. We can be who we are at our best. As I said, the United States of America. There's nothing beyond our capacity, I promise you. Ladies and gentlemen, the heart and soul of this country is at stake right here in Florida. It's up to you. You hold the key. If Florida goes blue, it's over. It's over.
Now, the thing about that is, if he knew the critical importance of making sure that the Democrats win Florida, why did he wait until the middle of last month, just 6 weeks ago, to make his first campaign visit to the Sunshine State? If Joe Biden loses, that will be part of the massive inquiry into what went wrong. If he wins, everyone will rapidly forget just how little the public has actually seen of him as a result of both the COVID-19 pandemic and his own
campaign's decision to keep him off the road as much as possible. For Donald Trump, we cannot say the same. There is no COVID unsafe environment anywhere in the swing states where he doesn't want to plunge in and campaign. Find a huge crowd of largely unmasked people, he'll be at the centre of it, doing his cabaret act instead of seriously going after his opponent.
Sleepy Joe's a little bit off. Let's face it, Sleepy Joe is shot. And I'm not a fan of his, and he's not a nice guy. Just, you know, I feel better. If he was a nice guy, I couldn't say these things. He's not a nice guy. Now he doesn't remember whether or not he used to be a nice guy.
That one bombed yesterday in Florida, perhaps because when you're behind with the large voting block of pensioners there, it's not really a great move to suggest your opponent is just another aging wreck. For yet another week, the president has entirely failed to go after Joe Biden seriously on policy, at least not on Joe Biden's real policies, as opposed to the fatuous claim that he's a Marxist revolutionary plotting to end fireworks on Independence Day.
If you vote for Biden, it means no kids in school, no graduations, no weddings, no Thanksgiving, no Christmas, and no 4th of July together. Other than that, you have a wonderful life.
If he loses, Republicans will spend the rest of their lives wondering what might have happened if he'd just been serious about the election, exploiting the enormous holes that lie at the heart of many of the Democrats' policy proposals, maybe even taking the pandemic seriously, instead of claiming amid record numbers of new infections that the country is rounding the turn. Republicans will ponder also what would have happened if the president had not embraced the claim, and he repeated it on Twitter only this morning, that Joe Biden heads an organized crime family. That story is now blowing up in the faces of those who have promulgated it. A 64-page document that President Trump and his top lieutenants have relentlessly disseminated now appears to have been concocted out of thin air by a fake company pretending to be a private intelligence operation. Last night on Fox News, presenter Tucker Carlson, who has relentlessly claimed that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden were engaged in a get-rich-quick scheme in China, appeared suddenly to have had the wind sucked out of his sails.
I never thought Hunter Biden was a bad person. I thought he had demons, but in the time I knew him, he kept them mostly under control. At some point, he lost control of those demons, and the world knows that now. He's now humiliated and alone. It's probably too strong to say we feel sorry for Hunter Biden, but the point is, pounding on a man, jumping on, piling on, when he's already down, is something that we don't want to be involved in.
Now, let me just assure you, that is the kind of broadcast you only make when you realize the goods you've been selling are too dodgy even for Arthur Daly, or possibly for Rupert Murdoch. The president's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, is not, however, giving up, although on propaganda channel OAN last night, he appeared to have gone out of his mind.
Want proof? Twitter? You want proof? Facebook? You want proof, you corrupt, lying, whatever you are? Here's the proof. I didn't write it. Russians didn't write it. And I didn't get the 30 million. Your prince got it. The prince of darkness, Joe Biden.
It would be tempting to leave him to it and just write him off as a nutcase. But the problem is, unless Tuesday's election has an immediate and clear outcome, it is likely to see a result not just delayed, but litigated. Both campaigns have lawyered up to the hilt already, and President Trump on Twitter in the early hours of this morning issued what appeared to be a warning to the 9 justices of the Supreme Court, 3 of whom he, of course, appointed. He told them if they deliver the presidency to Joe Biden, they can expect the court to be expanded and packed with what he called judges who are radical left. And within the last hour, he's railed against a Supreme Court decision to allow postal ballots in the swing state of North Carolina, featured heavily on Eddie's program this week, to be counted up to 9 days after the election, provided they are postmarked by Election Day. He called the decision crazy, which seems odd, given that they're real votes cast by real people, simply relying on the post office to deliver them. In Washington, D.C., they're boarding up the shops again. Even our office building, from where we'll be broadcasting all next week, was once again encased by protective wooden boarding today. Walmart, the nation's largest chain of superstores, is taking guns and ammunition off public display, anxious, they say, about the prospects of social unrest here. And we know there's been a major surge in gun sales over the last few weeks alone. Maybe we'll get that clear result to bring you at dawn on Wednesday in the UK. But Eddie, it's not the American week just passed that we might want to be worried about, rather the one that is about to begin.
Simon Marks, back with you here on LBC for a one-off special tomorrow night at 9. Do join him. And LBC's US election night coverage begins on Tuesday night at 10, led by Ian Dale and Sheila Fogarty. Nick Ferrari with you from 5 on Wednesday morning. There's nowhere better to be.